Hope you all had a good time of worship. Yes? Yes. So now we will hear the word of God. And it's a good time for all of us to hear what God is speaking to us this morning. Before that, we'll just bow our hands, just allow God, you know, set our hearts right. I think this is going to be very interesting and very much into which God is going to speak to us this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, as the farmer, Lord digs before he sows. And he waters it, makes the ground, and clears the waste, and digs it, and makes it soft, so that something which is sown comes up well. Not only comes out well, but it comes up strong as well. And this morning, we allow you to work. And as we look at the treasures, the real treasures, Lord, we pray that you will lead us, you will direct us. We bless you, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you are excited of treasures? Excited for treasures? Everyone, yes? Treasures, man, like, oh, that's amazing. Treasures means it's interesting. We want to get treasures. We want to find treasures. I still remember whenever I used to travel in local train when I was a college student. No, I did not have any friends, or like I was alone and sitting there. I used to think that someone should leave 1 crore rupees and I used to go and hope I'll become rich. So every time I used to look at, you know, someone is leaving something or not so that I can get it. But God willing, I did not get anything. So treasures are very important. And I look at our children, you know, they will go, they will dig, you know, in our garden and get this marble stones, you know, colorful stones. And they will come and they will show us, saying that, Dada, I got a treasure, you know, see this treasure. So I used to always tell Abhishna and John, our children, that Abhishna and John, you have to take care of your toys because we are poor people. So, Abhishek and John will come and dig this treasure and bring this treasure and say, Dada, we will no more be poor. I think this is a real treasure. We all will be rich. I just think, okay, Abhishek, like, you know, we can't get anything. No, Dada, this is real, real. So, treasures. And we felt, till the time of Christmas, God is going to dig and bring this new treasures in our life. And the real treasure, which we have to seek, find it. And one of the things which you are going to look this is bread. And over the period of time you will see more treasures coming up. Treasures are important, valuable, you know, precious. And this week I feel God is asking us to look at this treasure which God is going to bring this morning to all of us. And the Bible talks about prayer as one of the treasure. In the other terms, other terminology, it says it is something which is very important. Jesus, even he emphasized about this. Not only emphasized, he also practiced. And he asked others to practice as well. So the importance of this real valuable thing, that is something called as prayer. So let me ask you, why prayer? If you want to shoot out from there, that would be great. Why prayer? Connect us with God, okay? Prayer. Okay, prayer is the key which opens the heart of the Lord, or maybe opens the treasure box, okay? We can talk with the Lord. Personal relationship, who's that? Personal relationship with God, excellent. Come on. Prayer is a weapon, okay? We can fight, you know? The Bible says prayers, you know, all this which we have talked about, you know, seeking God's favor, pouring out one's heart and our soul, crying out, drawing near to God, kneeling before the Father in utter surrender. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer is also a powerful weapon to fight the enemy. You know, in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And the enemy is like a roaring lion. You know, it's looking for someone, anyone, to come and devour. Constantly, trying to get someone something. And the beginning of the verse, it says, be alert and sober mind. You know, I was reminded about people who are alert and they saved a lot of people. You know, there are a lot of stories, right? We read in the newspaper where train accidents or people who are missing or child being trafficked, there's someone sitting next to them, they are alert and they dial a number and, you know, someone is rescued, some accident is going to happen, someone alerts. So God says, be alert. And prayer is a powerful weapon to kind of make ourselves alert. Second, it says, be of sober mind. Means of no influence. Free from intoxicating influences. We speak to, it's about sober mind in the sense, you know, we say, you know, like, his mind is sober, basically. We use that, right? Common, often, we use that sentence. Opposite of that is people who are drunk, people who are in drugs, we say, are iska dimag nahi chal raha hai, aur wo dimag mein nahi hai, aur wo, like, we say that, like, this person is gone out of mind. God says, be alert and sober mind. The enemy is like a roaring lion, you know, trying to devour someone. So, tell your neighbor, be alert and of sober mind. So, through prayer, we can protect ourselves. Through prayer, we can cover ourselves, our family, our church, and our nation as well. Through prayer, we can be alert and we can be of sober mind. So many times, we don't pray. You know, I always tend to ask people saying that, you know, when we are driving, someone is driving very harsh and rash and just coming next to you and you just lower your window, or in the bike, you say, pray. And then I always say to myself and others that, boss, you are in a battle. God is testing you. Correct? So we don't know. We have to be alert. We need to be of sober mind. The enemy is waiting to devour. How many of us face challenges on Sunday morning? Sunday morning is the most difficult day. Okay? A lot of fights do happen on Sunday morning. Okay, those who are married, they would know. Those who are children also, they would know. A lot of things do happen on Sunday morning. And you say, why this Sunday morning? Not other day. A lot of arguments, and you say, from where it came? I don't know. So, prayer is a powerful weapon. As I said, God is going to open this treasure for us this morning. And Bible says, cover your family, cover yourself, cover our children, cover our nation, cover our church in prayer. Because there is someone who's waiting to just... You know, have you seen National Geographic or anything? The lion doesn't roam freely where there is a prey. What does the lion do? What does the lion do? Hides. Waits for the victim. Diverts his attention. It doesn't go like this, but it's weight. And after once it grabs it, then you know how fierce it is. So God says, pray and you can fight with the enemy. Many things do happen. As I said, we think that this is all happening because it's a normal routine. You know, many times we fail on certain things, maybe an assessment. You may feel that, okay, I have not studied. No. You may get a very tough boss wherever you go. Sometimes you may feel that this is what happens in corporate world. No. Sometimes you may feel that I have a very difficult family. Others have a very good family. No. It's all a spiritual which we need to understand and cover ourselves in a prayer. Today I'm going to talk about a man who got up in midnight. You know, someone who got up in a midnight. Any story you remember from the scripture? A man who got up in the midnight. Or Jesus talked about a man who got up in midnight. Okay, everyone is looking at me for answers. Yes, definitely. It's a very interesting, clear parable which gives a great insight for us this morning. And it will really going to help us. Let's read this. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we have also forgiven everyone who has sinned against us. And lead us into not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And here comes. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at when? Midnight, and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one who is there inside the house answers, 'Do not bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Okay, just think about someone knocking at your door at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock and say, "Do you have any sugar? Can you give me some neighbor, some of my friend has come. Do you have a Pepsi? You know, I have heard that you drink a lot of Pepsi and cold drinks. Can you just give me?" Just imagine, and that's in the midnight. You guys are like, what's wrong with this person? Jesus brings her important analogy, or brings from this a concept of prayer. And it is very important for us to understand. A man in the midnight. And if you read this, the disciples started asking Jesus. And it's also, it's a continuation. We all know this, right? But we don't know this. Or like, we have read this, but not that significantly we have looked into it. We know this prayer very by heart. But about this, Jesus supports what he has said and brings this to his people. And I believe God is going to bring this morning to all of us. So, if I want to kind of like draw a few things from this key verses, okay, what I can draw here is, what did this man did right? Okay, a man who got up in the midnight. If I want to ask you before I put my slides on, tell me, did this man did right? First of all, that is the question. Did this man who got up in the midnight and went and knocked in someone's house, did he do right? He did right. Okay, Raju is saying he did right. Anyone else? No right answer, no wrong answer. Yeah. Treasure, yes. Tell me. It's an open-ended question. Like, you know, you can support it with your understanding. Did this man did right? Yes, okay. We are very spiritual people. Like, we are saying yes. Let's see, God turn someone to your house next time you remember this parable in the night, okay? Yeah. A true friend, okay, a true friend. Okay, good. Okay, so let's bring this. It's a very important, you know, discussion, and also kind of we can communicate well, you guys and myself, and we can draw something else. Tell me what this man did right. Suppose you have a friend, and you went to the friend, and the friend said, "Don't worry, boss, I will manage," and he tries all this. Tell me, what this man did right? He trusted his friend. Excellent. Okay, one thing we can draw from this, he trusted his friend. He asked, he also went, like, you know, not only trusted, but he knew that, "Boss, I can ask. Okay, I can ask him." Yes, okay. That's another thing. Okay. So two things. One is like he himself did not have, so he extended and he said, okay, I will go to another person, I'll get it. Okay. Oh wow. The friend knew the other person master. You have this kind of friends? Har ek friend zaruri hota hai. I don't know whether you have seen that ad of Airtel, you know, used to run like, you know. So yes, you know, he was very sure that this person, I'll go, he's going to definitely answer. Anything else? I think I don't have to preach, that's the reason. You know, all your points, like I'm just bringing it, so okay. Okay, he still took that chance. It is, you know, he did not think about, like, you know, Jesus himself said, what audacity, you know, shameless audacity. So it's like that. But still, he took a chance and he went, okay? He was in a need, okay? He was in a need and he knew that need and he said, okay, I will search for this need, okay? Okay. What did he do right? Okay, I think most of it, it's answered. His faith was assured. Means, he was so assured, which he said, suppose we have a friend, you know, and we go to him and we are so assured that I go and ask, he will respond. When his friend came to him and asked him about the need, he knew that definitely this need, he will fulfill it. His faith, even before he went, he got up and he knew that this is going to happen. He was assured. He knew that what is going to happen next. And where he is going and what he is going to do, he was very sure that I am going to knock. I am going to do this. I know this guy is going to open his door. Whatever it is, whether he's tired, whether he's not tired, but he will still choose for me and he will get that to me. What I would say is confident, and he was so assured that definitely this person, if I ask, he will give it to me. Okay? The second thing is, he was confident, he was assured. Second is, he moved to the right direction. He knew where to go and how to go. He was not confused. Okay? No second thought. He did not go to five friends. He knew which friend, where he need to go, for what. And he knew that this is the source of bread. This is the source of what I want. And he knew, he was aware of. He was clear of his path. His directions were clear. And he was aware of his friend's nature. You know, no one can go that confidently in the night and say that, "Arey boss, bread dena mere ko." He was so, he knew moment, direction, clear. You know, no second thought. I'm ready. And he moved out. First, he had faith. Someone asking, he said, "Arey, mil jayega." Second is, he's taking a step. Not knocking 5 people, 10 people, 100 people. He knew which door to knock. He knew which door he has to knock for the need that he had at that time. The third, his approach was timely. Okay? He did not wait for morning. Arey theek hai yaar, dekh lete hain hum log kal subah. Bread hi chahiye na. We will see. He did not tell that person that. Or he did not say that, let's wait for some more time. Midnight means another 3 hours, 4 hours, morning, you know, dawn will definitely will come. But he did not say that. He said, no, I will go. His approach, he did not wait. He knew, I have to get up at this time. Timely. He did not wait or did not give a second chance or said, okay, I'll sleep now. Or he caught up in that midnight. The fourth one was, his request was very specific. What did he say? friend, how many breads? 3. Very specific. He did not say, give me bread. Or, do you have anything to eat? No. He was very specific. Said, 3 bread chahiye. Please, de do. He did not, you know, he was very specific in his request. He did not say, give me bread. He said, give me 3 loaves of bread. His request had a reason. He said, give me 3 loaves of bread, followed with a statement. What did he say? Sorry? What did he say? He said, give me 3 loaves of bread. And what did he say after that? Anyone wants to recollect? Turn to your Bibles. He said, give me 3 loaves of bread. And he was clear with his reason. He said, a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. His request had a reason behind it or explanation. So, if I take all this as in prayer, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And he's bringing this parable to his people. Assured of your prayers. Be assured of your prayer even before you begin praying. I'm not saying, Jesus is saying. Be assured even before you utter a word, confident that my prayers are going to be answered. He knew where to go. He knew where to go. And he did not go to first, thousand people, but he knew one person. He knew that I need to move ahead in that direction. And he went to the right source, that is Jesus. He knew where to go. This is happening in my family. This is happening in my health. This is happening in my job. This is happening in my church. This is happening in my nation. He knew where to go. And he knew who can answer that. His approach was timely. He did not say, "Theek hai, morning mein utke pray karte." When he knew what is happening around, he moved that time to meet that person. We need to move to God when we know that this is a time, the right time. I can't delay it anymore. His request was very specific. He did not say, God, do this to me. What he was asking was very specific. Our prayers need to be uttered very specific. You want a car? Tell that I want a car. And then also add Wagoner or Mercedes or Honda. Okay. So we can ask to this person our need. He was so assured that I can ask for 1 bread, 2 bread, I can ask for 3 breads. This person can give, to be very specific. And he also asked and supported that with a reason. When we pray, we request, but we also support that with a reason. I'm not saying, God is saying this, that why I need this Lamborghini, why I need this Wagoner. I need to be very clear in what I'm asking for and why I am asking. So this man, as I told you, you know, God will stir us in a new beginning for us the way we pray. I'm very excited for all of us this morning. So let's look at, you know, I'm interlinking or relating this. The Bible is full of stories where people had tried this out. Okay? People have tried this out. The Bible is full of stories where people have experienced it. The faith was assured. If we talk about the first thing, where he was so confident that if I go, I will get it. We read from the scripture, there was one man whose name was, who was a centurion. And in Matthew 8:6-8, he says, Lord, I do not, verse 8, the centurion says, Lord, I do not deserve you have to come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. From there only you see constant confirmation, assured that if I go here, I will get it. The centurion knew. As I said, it is not someone like, you know, we have said and no one experienced it. We have full of stories in the scriptures like that. He moved to the right direction, the second thing which we talked about. And we see it in the scripture about a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And it was crowded, but she knew where to go. And she went at the right place. And she knew that she, if she even touches Jesus, she will be healed. The Bible is full of things which we are talking about. The same thing which we talked about. His approach was timely. We knew people who took timely decisions. They did not wait that, okay, we know the story. It was all crowded. And then someone was there inside the house, that is Jesus. Four friends had an eagerness for their friend that he should be healed. There was no way, but they made a way. Timely decision. And they saw that God did a breakthrough and there was healing. His request was very specific. Okay, 3 bread. There was one man in the Bible. When Jesus was walking, everyone was saying, and one man was shouting and saying, hey, you know, this man was shouting, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, son of David, have mercy. Everyone said, quiet. But this one man was not quiet. He shouted again and again. And Jesus heard. Stopped. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Be very specific. To be very specific in what we are asking for. His request had a reason. He said, my friend who's coming far away, he does not have food to eat. And Hannah, in the scripture, she says, Lord, I'm tired. But you give me a son, I will, what I'll do? I will offer it. I will give it back to you, Lord. I will give it back to you. And we see this happening all over the scriptures. You know, we have also seen personally, as a family myself, and I know we all have stories, but we as a family also had these experiences. We saw people, you know, we saw God working in the lives of people. We saw God transforming people. We saw God working in us, God adding people in our church. You know, be very specific. We used to ask God, God give us people. And God did it. You know, our children, we were very specific. We said, God, we want our daughter, we want a child after a year. And exactly after a year, God blessed us with Abhishek. Sickness, we have been praying God that God, you know, I still remember once when we were just married, Sandra had some, you know, she was not able to walk without support. Okay? When we moved to Panvel for a church plant, she was not able to walk. She needed support, you know. And she can't even get up. So the doctor requested us, saying that to take an MRI. And we still remember morning was an appointment and we were just praying, weeping in our bed. God, give us one chance. Because the doctor was suspecting that there's something. Cancer, something which is affected. And then we went to the, God gave a promise saying that, you know, you will rise from death. And I still remember those time, you know, that 1-2 hours. I've been telling Sandra that, Sandra, I don't want to lose you. Sandra's telling me that, newly married, coming to Panvel for a church plan. Sandra's saying, I'm fearful of. We saw that MRI, it's like a coffin box. And Sandra has to be there inside, go inside the coffin box. And it is like, you know, person who's dead going inside. And we saw the MRI results came out and things were normal. To be very specific in prayer, Lord, give us one more chance. You know, when I lost my job recently, I said, Lord, give me another job. To be very specific, give me a good job. To be very specific, to be near, you know, something which is near, something which is work from home. And then about our church trust, you know, what we see here is Sunday, but Monday to Friday, there is a lot of, it's like an organization. You know, our church is registered under a charity, it's an NGO. You know, we have to do a lot of things, we have to do board, there are board meetings, there are finances need to be taken care of. We have an accountant, dedicated accountant coming, you know, once in a week to our house. We have a chartered accountant, two of them coming for an audit. We need to visit charity commissioners, sending our reports. Income tax officers need our detailed report of our, with screenshots, with images, what you are doing as a church, what you are doing as a social work centers. And, you know, we have to file income tax, we have to register, we have to go to a bank account, we have to do all that. You know, we are seeing breakthroughs in that sense. Today we stand proudly. You know, last week we had someone coming from CID, last week, you know, when we were doing our street children. And he was inquiring. I said, we are very confident, we are clear in what we are doing. You take my number, you need this trust number, take this trust number. You need my number, take my number. We need to be very specific in what we are asking for. And this is something which I shared personally, which we all can share personally as well. Now, what we should not do, which we talked about, his faith was assured, but there is a lot of lack of faith can come in between. Before even we ask, we need to be assured and confident that God will work even in this. You know, one of the things the enemy puts in our heart is lack of faith. Is it going to happen? That is the first question before you utter a word. Before even you say something, there would be a big question mark saying that. Don't ask simply, it's not going to happen. But this man was sure of this person. And he was confident, he was assured that he will get what he wants. So what we should not do is, we should not have lack of faith. We should have faith in God and be assured that God is going to hear what I'm going to ask. What we should not do is, he went to the right direction. But we can go everywhere. This man who woke up in the midnight, he knew that specific time. And he knew the needs. But sometimes we go everywhere. Different people, different places, and try our best to get the things out. And then once we don't get it, then what we do? Then we go to God. We don't go to God at first instance, but we go to God only when XYZ has not helped, doctor has not helped, job is not working out, then only we go. Moving everywhere, then going to God. Our requests need to go to God first. What we should not do? His approach was timely, but many times we are not proactive in our praying. We think, "Arey, ye to sabke saath hota hai. Things do happen this way." But we don't look at the other side, where we need to come and say that, "No, God is asking me to pray now for this, and I would pray." And we need to be proactive. We should not only feel the need of prayer when there is really sad thing happening, if nothing is happening, but we should be very confident, even in our joyous situation, that we should get up and we will pray. His requests were very specific, but verses to be all over the place. As I said, when we pray, we need to be very specific. Why we are praying and for what reason we are praying. I still remember, before every increment, every appraisal, I will pray to God. I would say, "God, give me a good increment. Give me a lot of money." You know, this is my statement. And I have heard one common prayer which everyone prays, very common prayer. "God knows my heart and He knows my need." And another common prayer which I heard is like, "God will take care of." Very powerful prayers, but need to be very specific. So I would always ask God that, "God, give me something. You know, I don't want to be all over this place, but I want to be very specific, that so that there is no confusion when God calls us out." Our request, we need to support our request with reasons, which I said, you know, if I want an increment, why I need an increment? If I want a car, why I need a car? If I need a big car, why I need it? So all these things we should not do. That is praying with lack of faith. You know, you try everywhere, things doesn't happen, and then you pray. And then being not proactive, that not praying, and then to be all over the place, you know, not to be very specific in our prayer, "God, let your will be done." But what is God's will? You're not even sure of. And then something comes up, we are so confused in life because we are not specific in our prayer. And then we come and say that, "Is it God's will or is it not?" And then people take a decision that this is God's will, but actually that is not God's will. To be very specific and request with reason that why I want to do this. If you want to stay in Panvel, you say that, "God, I want to stay in Panvel. For what reason?" We need to be very specific. And I just want to read this, the next one, the next paragraph from the scripture. "So I say to you," Jesus is saying this, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how you to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You know, to summarize everything, what God is saying, that your Heavenly Father is there, you can come. And you can speak. Confidence, assured, specific, very reasonable, give reasons behind what you are asking, and also timely. Don't wait for years to come to be prayed that, "God knows my heart." Or God will, there's another strong prayer that people pray. "You take me wherever you want." It's not a BST bus, like it will just come and you go inside. Or it is not like, you know, we have seen in YMCA Nilshi or Alibag, there's one person in our church, he just floats, you know, backwards. So wherever the wave tosses, "I will go, Lord, and this is your will." No, that doesn't happen in that way. We need to be very specific in our prayer. God will do, but we need to be very specific. Your will be done, what will you do? Very specific in what you are asking for. Final one before we end is this. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 23. I'll read it for all of us. Very interesting. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and he spent the nights lying in sackcloth. On the ground, the elders of his household stood beside him to get him from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child is still living, he wouldn't listen to us when he spoke to him, when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him that his child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed what his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He's dead. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put out lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food. He ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? When your child was alive, you fasted and you wept. But now that child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, when the child was still alive, I fasted and I wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. You know, sometimes God does not answer the prayer which we are asking for. But we still need to move in faith. Sometimes, some things, we can't bring it back. It's gone. But God is sovereign. He loves us. You know, this was David's story. I'll talk about a little bit of my story so that we all can relate to this. My dad was sick during the time of peak COVID. Few of us know the story. And during the complete lockdown, my dad was sick. And my family stays in Kurla, that is in Mumbai. And my mom tried her best to get, you know, one day I got a call and they were all trying to find a place for my dad in the hospital. Peak COVID, complete lockdown, no one took him inside. And just next to our house, we have a premium, you know, you search for Kohinoor Hospital. It just, from our window, we can see the hospital. But it was not open that day. From Kurla, they have to go street by street. No one is ready to take them. One rickshaw guy said, I'll take. And they, because rickshaws, autos, bus, nothing was running. And they moved from Kurla, from place to place, Sakinaka, all that. They reached till Andheri. But no one, every hospital refused because of the COVID situation. Somehow, he was taken in one of the hospitals where there were COVID patients as well. And I stayed with him. I used to sleep outside because no one kind of like would. It's 3 years back. The story is 3 years back. No one would take him. Means like inside the hospital we can't go because of the COVID situation. So I was in the car, sleeping, eating, doing everything outside the car, sleeping there, doing something. Because complete lockdown, no movement, nothing. No one can go, no one, because, you know, we had some emergency issue, I can travel, and I was there. And we did the treatment, and then we moved to another big hospital known to us, And we went there, did whatever the procedures are, surgery and all that, like, and everything went well. He was discharged. He came back home and he was well. And because there, it was COVID and he's coming from the hospital, we said, you stay in Kurla, we will come back, we will take him to Panvel till the time he recovers well. After 2 days, we got a video call in the morning that he is sick, very sick. And they did a video call. I saw my dad lying on the sofa and can't even get up. My mom is trying to pick him up, but you can't lift a person like that. She tried going outside, knocking, asking for people, like, you know, you help, you want to take my husband to the hospital, but, you know, no one turned up because it was peak COVID. And I said, I'm staying in Panvel, 45 minutes it will take for me. My sister stays in Sion, it will take another 40-30 minutes for her to come. And we coordinated. I said, like, a sister come, and you know, because there was no one, they are not able to lift, and there's no one to help. And after 40 minutes, my sister reached, my sister and my brother-in-law reached at Kurla. They took him in the auto and you know, was traveling in the traveling to the hospital in Chembur. And I took the car out, peak lockdown, all police and everywhere. I took the car out. It started raining. My wipers are going and I can't see anything. And I'm praying, saying, God, let this rain stop. I want to reach this place. And I'm going and, you know, signals after signal. Panvel signal, Kalamboli signal. I'm saying, God, help me that I don't get any more signal. I said, Lord, remember my dad. Remember our family. You promised that you go to Panvel, I'll take care of him. And I'm just going and it's being delayed. And I said, God, I don't want to get any calls in between. I should not get any calls in between. At one location, I got a call from my sister. And I said, Lord, I don't want to hear what I am fearful of. And my sister calls me and she cries out, Lord, she says, my dad is no more. And I park my car and I weep. And I say, God, this is not done. I take the car and I just go, reach Chembur, find the location, traffic, raining badly, and go in the hospital and listen. My dad, they are trying to give him last try. And I see him. I said, God, where is your promise? When we moved to Panvel, you said you will take care of my family, take care of my mom and dad. Lord, I left them alone and I came to Panvel. I know that filling that death certificate, you know, I have to write with that, you know, I didn't have any strength, I have to write everything. My mom, we did not tell that. My dad passed away. She was sitting outside the hospital. And how do I go? What should we say? How do we say? What should we do? And I was like very broken. I said, God, we came here for a church in Panvel. And I was very much hurt. And even being a pastor, human, we all have that journey with. And I was like, God, help me. I was having sleepless nights. And it's like, I can't face anyone. And I'm just asking, you know, suddenly I'll get up in the night, middle of the night, tears will come automatically. I'm taking bath, tears are flowing, and I don't know why. God, one chance you may have given, you may have taken care of. And I was in that pain, you know, like, how do I come out of it? I was in that deep pain. One fine day in the afternoon, I heard a voice, Virgil, get up. So I was lying on my bed, I got up. I said, God, I felt God saying this to me, Virgil, You are crying for what? You are hurt for what? You said, I'm hurt. My dad passed away. And you did not help. You promised. You said you will help. You will take care of my family. And God said, do you see your father as the only father you have? Are you only bothered about your blood, someone who is born from your family? And suddenly a picture God brought in front of me and said, look at your church. You are the father. Given you, and I clearly heard, I had given you that you will take care. And you're crying that your dad died. And I was able to overcome that pain and grief. And that is how God works. We pray, be very specific, we ask God some things. We saw the story of David in verse 22-23. He is dead. Verse 24. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word to Nathan the prophet to name him Jeremiah. The story did not end here. The story ends. God loved him. You know what blunder he did? Even in these failures, even in the setbacks, even in that loss, God loves us. And He's in full control. He not only gave another child, gave an assurance that I love you. And I love you. And this is where this our prayers are powerful. Sometimes we just end our story here. Our prayers are only there. And we know what Solomon did. Sovereign plan of God. You know, we had this wonderful celebration last week. An amazing celebration. We all came together. We were celebrating diversity, whatever we are. And God said, ask more, seek more, and knock, and I will answer. So this treasure is very precious. Prayer. And the key is given to us. If you want to open it and see what God can do. What God can do. You will see great past will be made new. Loss will be healed completely. Future you'll see bright. Even in all our failures, in all our setbacks, God said, the Lord loved him. Lord loved him. With that note, in that confidence this morning, I would request you all to this time. And I want you all to pray your heart out. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your children's children. Pray for your church. Pray for your job. Pray for your career. Pray for your health. Pray for your parents. Pray for your loss. Pray for the setback. Pray for the failures. Pray for the choice. Can I hear that? Can we lift our voice? As I said, there is breakthrough in that. There is power in your words. And the enemy doesn't want you to speak. In this time, I would give all of us to raise our voice and pray. Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful time you have given us, Lord. Lord, we just pray and we ask it that the real treasure, Lord, we will utilize more in our life. Lord, as we have a jewelry, we love to keep it. We admire it. We keep it so precious. Lord, let this treasure come out where we kneel down, where we fold our wounds. Lord, we pray. Lord, David did it. Men of God and people of God have done it. Lord, revival has happened in nations, in churches, in families, where super. The enemy is there, showing all our weaknesses, showing all the discouragements. But God says, I love you. Promise this morning to go out to be loved by the this great Father. Amazing.